This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
So why do you want to learn a new language?
I'll tell you why. Because ¿dónde está el baño? Can be a very important question at times. You know, Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. Fast track your language acquisition with immersive lessons designed to teach you to pick up languages in a natural way. I love the fact that I can go from my laptop to my phone to pretty much anywhere and learn the language of my choice. Not to mention, I'm bringing my communication skills to new heights. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a limited time, StarTalk Radio listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/StarTalk. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/StarTalk today.
Coming up on StarTalk Special Edition. It's going to be Celebrities Ask Neil. And I take questions from the likes of Kevin Hart, the musician Jack White. Oh my gosh. And we explore whether gold is rare in the universe. What is the nature of love? And are aliens real? Coming up on Star Talk.
Welcome to Star Talk, your place in the universe where science and pop culture collide. Star Talk begins right now.
This is Star Talk. Neil deGrasse Tyson, your personal astrophysicist. This is a special edition, which means we've got Gary O'Reilly.
Hi, Neil.
In the house.
Yes.
Chuck Nice.
Hey.
Also in the house here at my office, the Hayden Planetarium of the American Museum of Natural History. Today we're going to do Celebs Ask Neil.
Do we want to call them stars?
Stars.
Oh, look at that.
The stars talk. Stars are talking. They got
stars
questions.
Are talking to Neil.
See, we don't know whether it's you talk to stars or stars talk to you. It depends how you feel and who should go first.
No, these are stars. Right. These are stars. Mm-hmm. So, and my walks through life, mm-hmm. if I bump into somebody famous or right. one, I befriend one, I try to get them, if they have a question about the universe, and get their permission to put their question in the show.
Yeah.
And I don't answer it at the time.
Right.
So they got to, like,
Now we have forced them to listen to the show.
Exactly.
Yes,
exactly.
To get
you want your
the answer.
To, yes, this episode will air in approximately 6 weeks.
All right.
Also,
so what questions? So you, are we ready for these?
I think we should be.
Okay. So who's first up?
All right. So we have a Hollywood actor and stand-up who, I should say, really his star has risen to the heights. Very much so. It is Kevin Hart.
Kevin Hart.
Yes.
So you meant stand-up comedian. You said, I have a stand-up.
Yes.
Stand-up comedian.
Yes, a stand-up comedian.
I guess there aren't many stand-up other... There are no stand-up astrophysicists.
No.
What do you think? No. It's a long no.
Yeah.
But he has an interesting question about space.
Oh,
so let's take a listen and let's get your reaction.
Okay.
Hey, Neil. Kevin Hart here. I have a metaphysical question for you. I know you're probably saying to yourself, Kevin, I didn't know that you were into metaphysical stuff, but I am. Neil, if I were to go to space and I wore dress pants and I didn't iron them, is space capable of taking the wrinkles out, or am I going to be in space wrinkled up?
You might want to look up metaphysical.
I want to check out the definition.
Just maybe just
you're picking the man apart. He's brought his curiosity
he's
to the table.
He's brought honest curiosity.
Exactly.
And you're another comedian, and you don't like other comedians.
That's not true.
Coming into space.
That's not true.
I think
true.
That's what's happening.
Let me tell you something. Yeah. I enjoy Kevin. I think he
is
funny. I'm, you know, listen, I just think that... when you say you have a metaphysical question.
Are you talking about ironing pants?
Yeah, you might want to make it a metaphysical question. That's all I'm saying, okay?
Kevin, my man. Kevin. So, have you noticed that you don't have to iron pants, you don't have to iron clothing to get rid of the wrinkles? They have these steam irons.
Right.
Where you hang up the clothes in the closet, mm-hmm. and you go vertically up and down. So it's not a traditional iron. We have a flat iron on an ironing board.
Right, which is weight.
Okay, that's weight and heat,
mm-hmm. right,
and steam will flatten it out. But you can take out the wrinkles if you just glide up and down mm-hmm. with a heat source that has steam within it. Mm-hmm. You can do that. Okay, so now watch. If I put your ass in space,
right,
and I put you close enough to a star,
mm-hmm.
the energy from the star will heat your body. You will sweat trying to stay cool. That sweat will evaporate and steam your pants.
Well, there you go. With you in them.
With you in them.
That just there sounds like someone getting
when
cooked.
When you're done, you'll be like a salmon.
Yeah.
Steam salmon.
Steam salmon.
Inside the foil. Yeah,
that's what you'll be. Yes.
Remember back in the 60s, 70s, spacesuits would look that silver foil?
Yeah, they all had silver. Right.
So now, if you had those and that happened, you are going to get cooked.
Yeah, what gets me is I would think that someone of Kevin's stature would be able to afford dry cleaning.
In space.
Even in space.
No. Are we now at the point where he has a butler?
Yeah. Oh, he definitely has somebody
looking after his stuff.
That attends to that.
So right. he's got to have a space butler.
That's kind of like...
Yeah.
If he's going to space, surely he'd have a space... Yeah, he would have it.
Have a space butler.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
He's got it like that.
All right. So Kevin, if you don't otherwise have... there's a word for that person who looks after your clothing.
A valet.
Valet. If you don't have a space valet, boy, that's the subject of a sitcom.
Yes.
My space valet.
My space valet.
Where do I park the spaceship?
So, if you don't happen to have a space valet, you can steam out the wrinkles of your clothing with your own body heat.
There you go.
All right.
I'm not sure he's going to be satisfied with that.
I'm going to say the best metaphysical answer you could have given.
It could have been metal physical, and then we could have gone with iron.
By the way, for the same reason,
mm-hmm.
if you're all sweaty inside your ironed clothes,
right.
and you go sit in a car,
right.
and you're sweaty in the car, and you get out of the car, you have a fresh set of wrinkles that have been pressed. By the heat and the steam of your body.
That's right.
That's why you're wrinkled. But the wrinkle doesn't know that wasn't on purpose. It says, oh, I feel pressure, and I feel heat, and I feel moisture. I'm going to make a crease. Is that the creases are all misaligned.
So we don't have air-conditioned seats in space yet.
No, well, yeah.
I don't think you would need them, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, you just open the window.
Roll down the window.
Even better.
Roll down the window.
Well, if you're not facing a star, it's very, very cold.
They're right.
Yeah. Facing a star, it can be very, very hot. Anyway, that's the answer, Kevin.
Okay.
For you.
There you go.
All right.
All right, next up.
You got more?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
There's more. All right, musician and singer-songwriter Tommy James from Tommy James and the Shondells.
Tommy James.
Yeah.
My gosh.
Throwback.
I met him.
Throwback.
At Sirius XM headquarters here in New York. Yeah. I'm there. And he said, hi, I'm Tommy James. And it was like a religious moment. Like, and the Shondells? No, just Tommy James. The Shondells. I don't know where he left Shondells.
Exactly.
But he had so many hits in that period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, was it the late 60s, mid-60s, early 70s? And you would recognize the tunes if you heard him. Yeah. Remember, Tommy James.
Now, he's got a question about, of all things, Coffee. Yeah, let's take a listen and we'll get your reaction on the other side.
Coffee. My question to you is very simple. If I drink 8 o'clock coffee at 9 o'clock, can I create a singularity?
Okay.
So that's a metaphysical question.
Once again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, he didn't pre-advertise it as a metaphysical question. Okay. The way I would answer that is, if you drink 8 o'clock coffee at 9 o'clock,
right,
the coffee thinks you're in a different time zone.
Right.
The coffee's fine with its 8 o'clockness.
That's right.
Yeah. It's 8 o'clock somewhere in the world.
And that's what I was going to say, because it's 8 o'clock somewhere.
At all times, it's 8 o'clock somewhere in the world. You know how you know that? Because the world has 24 time zones.
Right. Right.
Actually, it's more than some time zones are go 30 minutes.
Right.
These are crazy people who do that. Yeah. Okay.
Well, maybe not crazy. We won't call them that.
Okay. These are people who want to be different.
Right. More than that. Yeah. Because we shouldn't even have mountain time, to be honest. Let's be honest.
Cut them some slack.
We really should.
I know. How many people live in mountain time?
How many people? Like 8.
I think the coffee is not thinking about you. It's only thinking about itself.
Right. How selfish.
And then you resonate into the time zone where it is 8 o'clock in the morning. At that moment.
Yeah. I didn't know coffee had times affixed to it. I've never heard.
Not all brands.
8 o'clock coffee.
Yeah, yeah. No, that was a brand.
Oh, that was a brand of coffee.
Yeah, I think so.
8 o'clock. Oh, I get it.
Yeah. Yes.
I think you're right. I'm seeing it came in a red bag or something. Yeah, 8 o'clock coffee, I think it was. Yeah. Or am I thinking chock full of nuts?
Yeah, chock full of nuts. Heavenly chock full of nuts.
That's the heavenly coffee.
That was the red tin, wasn't it?
Plus, if you're any actual working person.
Right.
If you ain't awake by 8. You ain't getting
Forget it. You don't deserve coffee. Coffee is for closers, not for people who sleep past 8 o'clock.
Right, exactly. Or for people who had to wake up at 6.
That's
and
right.
And get to the job
That's
early.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. It should be 6 o'clock coffee.
Yeah, I don't know anybody who has to be to work that gets up at 8 o'clock.
And then now I got to be awake at 8:30 for my cup of coffee.
Yeah.
So that's my answer. But some of his songs—
See, he's a musician, so 8 a.m. is late. Like— Really, really early in the morning.
Musicians wake up at noon.
That's 5:30 a.m.
for everybody else.
Yeah,
okay.
8 a.m. Mine will be 4 o'clock as far as he's
all
concerned.
Right. All right.
He's getting up super early.
Tommy James and the Shondells. He sang Crimson and Clover.
Crimson and Clover.
Do you remember that?
Not by him, but yeah. I had no idea.
People
covered his songs.
No, but it was good stuff, man.
That's cool.
There's another one. I think I'm alone now.
And that's another,
Tommy James had that before Tiffany.
I know, but that was the cover
version. She's covering him.
Yeah. She's covering him. Yeah, wow. Yeah. Yeah, go check out his playlist.
His playlist.
It's really, you'll recognize every one of the songs.
All right.
Yeah, totally.
Okay.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit, credit to the people.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. So you need a business partner just like you, like FedEx, who understands your passion for serving your customers because they have the same commitment towards you. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the US on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. What's more, FedEx Ground is faster to more locations than UPS Ground. Trust FedEx for timely deliveries. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
Whether you're a family vacation traveler, business tripper, or long weekend adventurer, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. And that's good, because there are a lot of me's. Choice Hotels has over 7,400 locations and 22 brands, including Comfort Hotels, Radisson Hotels, and Cambria Hotels. Get the best value for your money when you book with Choice Hotels. Cambria Hotels feature locally inspired hotel bars with specialty cocktails and downtown locations in the center of it all. Hey, that's me. Radisson Hotels have flexible workspaces to get the most of your business travel and on-site restaurants. That's me, too. And at Comfort Hotels, you'll enjoy free hot breakfast with fresh waffles, great pools for the entire family, and spacious rooms. Hey, that's me, too. I guess I'm just going to have to stay at all of them. Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Book direct at choicehotels.com, where travel comes true.
I'm Kais from Bangladesh, and I support Star Talk on Patreon. This is Star Talk with Neil deGrasse Tyson.
All right. Who's all right. Next? What else you got?
Glad for that throwback. So, next question. We have a stand-up comedian. Comedienne, because you got fussy the last time, so I'm throwing comedienne in. And also an actress, Nikki Glaser. So, it's a two-part question, so bring your patience. Here it comes. Take a listen, and we'll get your reaction on the other side.
It's 100% that there's alien life out there, no matter what, right? Like, it's been proven, right? Because I got an argument with someone recently. Bill Maher told me that that's ridiculous. I said, no, it's been proven. It's 100% true that there must be alien life somewhere. Is that true or not? And also, is love real?
How am I going to answer those two questions at the same time?
Easy. You're going to do this separately.
Easy. If you think love is real, that's the reason why you think it's 100% sure that there are aliens.
Oh, it's 100% cynical.
So you get the same answer.
All
right. If you say yes to both of those,
it says what kind of person you are. Like, there's 100%, we're definitely sure that there's aliens and love is real. Well, I got news for you. There's not 100% sure that there are aliens, even though it's very likely. And love is a chemical reaction that your brain has so that we can further our DNA into the future. So it's all BS, okay? No such thing as love.
Except she didn't ask you.
Exactly, right.
Let's get to
the
end.
Is your answer any different?
You just sound a little more academic.
Yes, exactly.
All right. All.
Okay. Neil will put an academic spin on it.
All right.
Instead of a cynical one.
So, when you look at the ingredients of life on Earth, the chemical ingredients.
Right.
What's the number one molecule in your body?
Carbon.
That's an atom. That's an element.
You said molecule.
Yeah, I said
hydrogen?
Molecule, dude. That's another element.
All right.
Molecule is more than one element
put together. I'm trying to think which element is put. Oh, okay. So that'd be water.
Water. Thank you.
Water.
We're more than half water.
Yeah.
I was thinking it.
So, and water is more than half what?
It's more half oxygen.
H2O.
Thinking it backwards, yes.
I'm going to take away the degree we gave you for honorary. Okay,
H2O. Two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen.
So we are mostly water. Water is mostly hydrogen.
Right.
So the number one atom in our body is hydrogen.
Right.
I said that and you said me no.
I asked for the number one molecule.
Oh, we're getting fussy.
And then we unpack the molecule and we get hydrogen. The number two atom in our body is oxygen.
Right.
The number three is carbon.
Right.
Number four, nitrogen. Number five, my favorite element of them all, other. Okay.
How much are people full of shit? Is that quantifiable or is it different?
Oh, people have other elements in them.
Yeah, right.
No. Here's one I saw on a comic. So there's a periodic table of elements, and one of the boxes, it just has a picture.
Of a mouth agape.
Yeah, and that's the element of surprise.
Yay!
So if you look at that ranking of elements, so hydrogen, oxygen, carbon, nitrogen, other.
Right.
Okay? Now let's look in the universe. The number one atom in the universe is hydrogen.
Hydrogen.
Number two is helium, but that's chemically inert. Nothing you could do with it anyway. Mm-hmm. Next in the universe, oxygen. Mm-hmm. Next, carbon.
Carbon.
Next, nitrogen. Mm-hmm. Next, the other class, other. Okay?
Other.
We are one for one, the same ingredients in order, in rank order, in the universe.
Right.
So, when Earth made life 4.5 billion years ago, it was being highly opportunistic.
Right.
It made life out of the base ingredients given to it by the formation of the universe and stars itself. So, unless you want to say that what happened on Earth with the most common ingredients in the universe was rare.
Right.
At some point, you're going to have to say, oh my gosh, this probably played out many places in the galaxy and in the universe itself.
Right.
So it is highly likely as Chuck
yeah.
alluded to with fewer words, that there's life elsewhere in the universe.
Highly likely.
But right. we do not yet have evidence of it.
So what you're saying
and
is—
And even though it's highly likely, let's be honest, if you walk into a supermarket, there is every kind of cake in that supermarket, but it has not yet been made. So you got eggs, you got milk, you got flour, you got vanilla, you got everything.
That was deep.
Right? So just because all Chuck the ingredients are in the supermarket doesn't mean that there's a cake in the supermarket.
Well, there is in the bakery section.
Well.
so that, using that theme.
I don't go to such a fancy market.
Okay.
So the universe isn't going to the fridge late on a Saturday night and finding it bare. It has everything it needs to make
In every nook and cranny of the universe itself.
Yeah.
Okay, and because hydrogen and oxygen are the two most abundant chemicals in the list that are chemically active, water, we don't expect that to be rare.
Right, exactly.
So H2O.
Would there be an ability to create other life forms but by changing the magnitude of what was in play?
Possibly. It's different for different life on Earth, but we're still carbon-based.
Carbon-based.
All right. Some people say maybe there could be silicon-based life.
Right.
Silicon sits right below carbon on the periodic table, and all elements in a column form similar families of molecules.
Right.
So you can have CO2. There's silicon sitting right below. There's SiO2. Right.
And there is going to be silicon-based life form. As a matter of fact, we're on the precipice of it right now.
Well, we call that the silicon chips.
Exactly.
That's not what they mean with the science fiction writers.
But I'm just saying, we're creating silicon-based.
We are creating it,
and it's going to replace us.
It's going to be our overlord.
but then you look at the synthetic biological intelligence that's coming through research right now, which will then sit maybe alongside the silicon intelligence.
Yeah, I mean, that let's hope that never happens. Please, God, no.
Can I scare him anymore now?
So now, people say, well, we've been looking and we haven't found it,
right.
So maybe there isn't any. Well, how much do you think we've looked so far?
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. And so here's an analogy we get from my friends up at SETI, the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence organization up in Northern California.
Their array of dishes that they listen to the whole universe.
They have telescope dishes tuned in for anybody who's going to talk to us. Right. All right.
As if they're going to want to talk to us.
At all. If they would assume, what a big assumption that is.
Right.
They care about us.
They want to. Right. Like one day we're going to hear a message just like, hello, what? You know, I don't think it's on. Does it? I don't think it's working. Harold?
It's always Harold.
It's always Harold.
It was the first alien contact.
That's the first alien contact.
So they gave an analogy. Mm. You go to the ocean shore and you take a cup of water. You take an empty cup and you scoop up some ocean water and look at it and you conclude the ocean has no whales.
Wow. That's a great analogy, man.
That's like us in the amount of the space we've looked, the number of frequencies we've looked over time that we've looked.
Right.
Identical. You can actually calculate that these probabilities are similar.
Yeah.
To do that and say the ocean has no whales, using this cup as evidence that it doesn't. So we have no place to stand to declare that there's no life in the universe given how little of it we have searched. Yeah. All right, so that's the answer to the first part.
Right.
But is there love?
And what's it got to do with anything?
It matters to her.
Apparently so.
Okay. Matters to Nikki. But so, is there love? Here's how I will answer that.
With cards and chocolate?
One doesn't have to decide whether or not love exists. If you can measure things that happen on the assumption that it does.
Oh, I see.
I see where you're going with the measurements of it.
Right.
Okay, I'm near a cave and there's just snow and I see bear footprints out front. I don't see a bear, so I don't think it exists. They're footprints.
Right.
You walk a little further, there's poop. Mm-hmm. It's berry poop because bears like bears.
The carcass of a small child.
Stop. So So you're allowed in science to make measurements of phenomena that betray the existence of a thing that you hypothesize could be there.
Right.
All right.
And I will say that there's enough evidence of the existence of love in the conduct of our species that we should proceed with no denial of how real it is.
You, sir, are an eloquent romantic indeed. I still say it's chemical reaction.
No, that does not diminish
that's true.
The feeling, that's the reality, and the consequences right of love in this world.
That's true. Absolutely.
So, Nikki, yes, there's love.
And you're right about the aliens, too, Nikki.
Oh, because she heard that it wasn't.
Yeah.
And she got challenged on Bill Maher.
Right.
Right.
Well, she's saying that, it's definitely.
Yeah, and Nikki, Bill Maher should not be your source of cosmic enlightenment.
Okay. Which is maybe why she asked the question.
Okay, no, that's why she came.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
Nikki's got Netflix specials
and television shows.
She's got potty mouth, though.
She
warning.
She does.
She's got potty mouth.
Talks a lot about body parts in her comedy.
All manner of body parts. Body orifices.
But she does it in a funny way, so I have no problem.
Yeah. So check her out when you can.
Yeah.
So if we are looking at love existing, does that then roll itself out into other species? Do they experience love the way we experience love? And if we take it off world and there are other life forms, are they likely to experience love?
So we went through many decades, even possibly centuries, declaring without evidence that we're the only ones with a consciousness about our existence. We're the only ones that have feeling. We're the only to distance ourselves from the rest
of
the animal kingdom.
Yeah.
And the more we study animals, the more we learn. I'll just give an example.
Go on.
There's a video, you can find it, of a tortoise. Now, whenever you see a tortoise, it's not doing anything, right? It's sticking its head out and then back in.
Right.
Or it's eating lettuce. There's a tortoise with a security cam footage, but with no one else is around, and it's playing with a ball. There's a ball, and it goes up to it, and it rolls it, and it sees where it goes, and it goes back and rolls it again. This is beautiful,
right?
Okay? There's other footage of pigs having fun.
Right.
What will pigs do when you're not fattening them for slaughter? If you look at other animals, when you're not chasing them and they don't know anybody's looking, many of them are just having fun. If they have the capacity to have fun, should they not have the capacity to love? To have other feelings that bring joy to them? I will not declare that they do not have love.
Interesting.
I'm not going to be that guy.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm going to, and can I get a little weird on you here? Okay.
Can we stop you?
Yeah, you can.
All right.
I spent some time in Texas.
Okay.
And I had a roach infested apartment.
That sounds like Texas.
Okay. So I wanted to study the roaches so that I can know my enemy. So I trapped some and instead of killing them, I kept them in jars and I observed their behavior.
And after 3 days, they had set up a pickleball court. And they were playing pickleball.
So I set it up, and I'm observing them. And so first of all, they're very clean in the sense that they're always cleaning their legs and their antennas. They bring their antenna down, and they clean it, and they're doing this at all times. You don't know that because you're chasing them ready to squash them. They don't have time to clean their antenna while you're chasing them as they're escaping death. But when they're not otherwise escaping death, that's what they're doing. And I see two roaches come up to each other after they clean their antennas, and their antennas just kind of touch like that. And what am I going to say? Oh, they're touching their antennas, but they don't actually feel emotion. That's like the porpoise is swimming in the ocean, in the water park.
Right.
One turning to the other, commenting on the humans who are up there and say, well, they face each other and make noise, but there's no evidence yet that they're actually communicating with each other. Okay? That's me thinking that roaches don't have this kind of understanding about themselves. Maybe the touching of the antenna was love. Roach love.
Next time, I'm going to suggest that you call Orkin.
But I can tell you, if it's not Roach love. What you do know is that they're making babies.
Right. That's true.
Roaches know how to make babies.
Right.
Yeah, all right. Fair. All right. So I'm not going to say other animals don't feel love.
Okay.
I'm not
going to go. That awesome.
Okay.
Next question.
You got another one. Let's do it.
All right. We're all loved out. This time, pop icon Jack White. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, he's got a question about rare earth minerals and their existence throughout the universe.
Okay, this is Jack White, the guitarist, singer, performer.
Mm-hmm. White Stripes.
Jack White.
The man that appears in every stadium around the world if there's a sporting event, mm-hmm. even though he's not there. Always his music that gets played.
Jack White.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Let me tell you where I met him. Okay. He's a fan of the universe. He was a fan of Carl Sagan's.
Wow.
I met him at a meeting of the board of the Planetary Society when I served on the board. And he came because he's just interested. He might have even been a donor. I don't remember.
Right.
Planetary Society was founded by Carl Sagan and two of his colleagues to try to up the awareness of people's caring and sensitivity to the plight of Earth as a planet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What a great idea.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so right now, our friend Bill Nye is CEO of the Planetary Society. So I'm there and I meet him for the first time. We pose for some photos. And so just recently, I gave one of my public talks in Nashville, Tennessee, where he lives.
Mm. What a surprise.
He sent me, he dropped me a line saying, yeah, I hear you're in town. I'm going to come see. Can you?
That's kind of cool.
Okay. Yeah, can you get me some tickets?
Oh, wait a minute. He didn't pay for his ticket.
I was going to say, pay for your own damn ticket. Yeah, no.
You got enough money to pay for your own ticket, Jack White. Calling me up to mooch tickets off of me. Hey, Neil, it's me, Jack White. You know, famous guitarist from the White Stripes. Was wondering, can I get a free ticket to your show, man? Come on, now.
No love for Jack.
No, come on.
So, I gave him some free tickets.
Gave him a ticket.
And then he invited me back to his place. And so I hung out with him about a half hour.
All right.
Okay. He showed me, he collects a lot of memorabilia. It was fun. You know what just happened to be on TV in that moment?
What's that?
2001, A Space Odyssey.
Oh, wow. Look at that.
Just happened to be on TV.
No, it wasn't. He had that set up.
Yep.
He had it on DVR. You walked in, he hit the play button. He was like, wow, what a coincidence. You're here in 2001, A Space Odyssey is on. Oh, what are the chances?
Okay, maybe that was also, I don't know, maybe.
I'm with you.
But I pointed out some scenes where they got the physics wrong in 2001. But anyhow, at the end, I said, let me get a question from my man here, Jack White.
All right.
So let's see what he asked me.
Dr. Tyson, I have a question. Is gold actually rare in the universe? And part two, is it rare on the planet we live on?
You notice how that question can be played in any civilization across the galaxy.
Yes, it can.
Because he didn't mention Earth.
He didn't mention Earth. And the planet we live on.
The planet we live
on. That's what he said.
And we can replay that when we're Mars colony.
All right.
Okay. Right. Yep. So, it's possible for something to be rare, but common.
Explain.
Aha.
Okay. Let me give some simple examples. In your life, birth is rare, but in the world, birth is common.
I understand that now.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's a big event if you're birthing out a baby.
Mm-hmm.
It's an even bigger event if I'm birthing out a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Just say
biologically. So death is rare in your life. How many, unless you work in a hospital or serve in the military.
Right.
How many dead bodies have you actually ever seen in your life?
Yeah.
Right.
At, you know, most a few at most.
Yeah.
Yet it happens all the time. So something can be rare but common. So gold is rare because most things are not gold. But gold is everywhere.
Okay. Even in them there hills?
Especially And them there hills.
That was classic frontier gibberish.
That was great. Especially in them there hills. So it's just, if it's everywhere but not all concentrated, mm-hmm. then it's a challenge to gather it. All right. Right. And so if I met a gold mine, no, a gold prospector once. Right. My wife is from Alaska, and there was a guy who spent his life doing this.
A lot of people in Alaska do that.
Yeah, exactly. And so he had a gold nugget. Does ingot have a special definition? An ingot is probably above us, or I don't know.
Yeah, but
an ingot has been melted down into a
bar.
Okay, fine. Okay, so he just had a gold, natural gold.
That's a nugget. Then. A
nugget.
Yeah.
And like the Denver Nuggets. Right. The nugget.
Yeah.
He had a gold nugget on his wife's neck. You know, mm-hmm. And I said, what's the biggest chunk of gold you ever found? He said, it's around my wife's neck.
Wow.
And it wasn't more than a centimeter across. Right. So, and he does this his whole life. So you're not finding much gold where you're looking, but you can find some. And it's a big effort.
Right.
Okay? However, by the way, do you know that gold is very heavy?
Yes.
Okay? A cubic foot of gold. Weighs 1,800 pounds.
Yeah, that's why they sell it by the ounce.
Gold is one of the densest metals on the periodic table.
Right.
There's like two things denser than it. Like,
it's not reactive, right?
So
it's
osmium also, is the densest element.
What'd you say?
Osmium.
Osmium.
So if gold is so dense, why when you get a higher carat of gold, is it softer?
Oh, density and softness had nothing to do with each other.
Okay, thank you.
In the same way, you can have something that's hard yet fragile.
Right.
Like stemware for wine or the shell of an egg.
Right, or crystal.
Crystal. It's hard yet fragile.
All right.
Okay? So that's why you can be dense yet soft. Mm. All right. Good question, though.
Thank you.
I like that. Gold is very malleable.
Right.
Malleable. So nature has done something very cool. Ready? When we form planets in orbit around stars, initially it's very hot. And the whole planet is molten. Mm-hmm. If you are molten, that means heavy things can go to the bottom and light things go to the top. We did a whole explainer on this, didn't we, Jack?
Yes.
Okay.
One of my favorites.
Okay. So while you are in your molten state, all the heavy stuff goes to the bottom. Right. The light stuff floats to the top. What would that be? All the metals, the heavy metals. So iron, nickel, cobalt.
Metallica. Death metal.
Metallica.
Pantera.
Totally guaranteed.
You're going to find Metallica in the center of the...
At what level is thrash metal? We're going to get into the weeds.
Heavy metals, all the bands are all there. So they go to the middle and the light stuff floats like rocks. Okay? Rocks are light.
In comparison.
Compared with metals.
Yeah. Right.
Okay? If you have a chunk of metal and a rock and you drop them in the water, the metal's going to fall faster. Than the, right? Because it's going to cut through the water faster. All right. But in the air, they fall the same rate.
Right.
That's a Galileo thing. All right. So what happens to these objects? They cool. Mm-hmm. And they become solid. Then in the early solar system, which was an especially badass shooting gallery, other planetesimals can slam into you and shatter you to smithereens.
Oh.
After you have formed.
Right.
After you've been pre-sifted. Mm. What that means is the asteroids you become are now pre-sifted for the ingredients.
That's right.
Some of them will be rocky. Others will be metallic.
Right.
We have metallic asteroids in the solar system. If you go lasso one of those and bring it to Earth, it will have, depending on the size, of course, but there are asteroids out there with more gold in them than have ever been mined in the history of the Earth.
Was it a movie or a TV series that they had a mining ship out in space?
Oh,
that's called The Expanse.
The Expanse. The Expanse. Yeah. They're mining the asteroids.
They're mining the asteroids.
For the natural ingredients. Because you don't have, it's pre-sifted. The geologists have a word for it. It's called differentiation. Uh-huh. That's what they call it. But it's just, I call it pre-sifted.
The supermarket, but all the aisles.
Yes, but if you're picking aisle one and aisle two among the asteroids, there you have it. So you can find places where gold is especially concentrated because nature already did it for you because gold is heavy.
There you go.
Right. And it's why Earth's core, we have an iron core. Whoa, by the way, there's way more iron than gold.
Oh, God, yes.
There's not much gold in the universe. Let me just start there, okay?
Sent the price of gold up.
Oh, wait. So if you bring that asteroid to Earth, which has all that gold, then what happens to the price of gold?
Oh, it plummets unless you're smart enough to leave it parked a little further out and bring it in a bit at a time.
Just a little bit at a time. Keep that price going.
Dole it out.
So, so gold is plentiful but highly scattered unless you're going to find the pre-sifted stuff in asteroids. Oh, by the way, there's more gold in the ocean than have ever been mined on Earth.
That makes sense.
Okay.
Most of the Earth is ocean.
or surface, right.
Surface, right.
So if you can set up a gold sifting device and you just, and maybe as the tides come through, you have a passive filtering device, you can slowly accumulate the gold that's in the ocean. The ocean doesn't need the gold.
No.
Yeah, we can make much better use of it than the ocean can.
Man, I'm sure there's a goldfish joke in there somewhere.
But
I'm not going to do it.
Oh, goldfish joke. That's clever.
I'm not going to do it.
Okay. All right.
That's all right. Aren't you?
No, I'm not. Yeah.
So.
He's going to sit there squirming until he says that.
Yeah. So the answer is it's rare but common.
Rare but common. Yeah. There you go.
All right.
There you go, Jack. And who knew a musician would live in Music City, Nashville?
Oh, yeah. That's where he lives.
Makes sense, huh? All right, next one up. Coming out of the entertainment business, but staying in entertainment with the Sportiverse, Cam Johnson from the Brooklyn Nets, the NBA team.
Cam Johnson visited me in my office.
Oh, wow.
Cam Johnson came to my office.
Yeah, he's a rising star in the NBA.
Just to come in and say hi?
Yeah, just to, I got, you know. Why are you surprised?
Because I don't think he's coming by for basketball tips. Neil, I was hoping you could coach me on how to box out and,
There could be some physics lessons in there.
Some trouble with my crossover, man. I was hoping.
There could be some physics. I had Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in that chair.
I know.
And we talked about the physics of the skyhook.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Cam Johnson, all right. You look at him from a distance, he looks like a regular guy. And then he walks up next to you. He's like 6'7" or something, you know.
Right.
It's just, they're tall, these folk.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What a surprise.
So I'm trying to remember, why did he come by my office?
You have magnetism.
So I think it was like a day off for them. Yeah. And they've got people who handle them and they find out what their interests are.
Mm-hmm.
And he loved science when he was in college.
That's great.
And especially like his astronomy class. Aww. So he wanted to come and just get a little infusion.
Let's hear what his curiosity was.
Let's see where it took him.
Yeah, let's see where it goes.
What's up, Neil? This is Cam Johnson. Question for you. Can we feel the change in spin speed of the Earth at the equator versus at the poles? Obviously, at the equator, the Earth is going to be spinning a lot faster. And at the poles, it's going to be spinning a lot slower. And obviously, this has a lot of effect on the planet as a whole. But can we as humans kind of feel that change?
Interesting question.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Clearly, he knows that the Earth spins faster at the equator.
Yeah. So at the equator, you are moving 1,000 miles an hour.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
West to east.
Yep.
Nice.
1,000 miles an hour. As you go north or south of the equator, the surface of the Earth is not moving as fast. It's moving as a solid object, of course, but your circumference is not as big if you are farther away from the equator than the equator is. So, but you still make one turn in a day. So you're clearly moving slower. Mm-hmm. All right. So if we paved over Earth, okay? And I never thought of this example before. It's the first time I'm thinking of this. You pave over Earth, start you at the equator, and we say, run due north and don't stop.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And you start running due north, but then they no longer tell you which way north is. You just start headed to the Santa Claus, okay? You start running, and you're always going in a straight line.
Mm-hmm.
You will think you're going in a straight line, but you're not. Step back, and we see your path. Your path would have curved east,
yep.
And you'll never hit the North Pole. The point where you took your last step has higher sideways motion than the point where you just landed. So it is carrying you east without you even knowing it, even though you think you're running in a straight line. And another way to do this, if anyone still has them, you remember the record players?
Right.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Take a little marble, start it at the end of the record player, and then roll it inwards.
You will have it'll ruin that record.
It will overtake the spindle and come in ahead of it. So that's kind of the only way you would know it. By the way, clouds know all about this, all right? That's why they circulate into storms.
Right.
Clouds coming up from the south, they overtake their destination. Clouds coming down from the north fall behind. As you do this, that creates a circulation. So all storms in the northern hemisphere rotate counterclockwise.
There you go.
So weather feels it. That's what creates our storms. You would feel it if Earth were paved over and you ran, but otherwise, no. No one has any clue.
Right.
And I asked you this question before. Is there a point on Earth right at the axis where it actually doesn't rotate?
Well, the very top spot, it's all rotating. Everything is rotating.
But is there like one molecule?
One atom right
there
at the top?
Yeah.
No, because then everything would be turning around.
Right, no, just why I'm asking, because it seems like there would be...
Okay, here it is. Mathematically,
yes.
There's a point that would not be rotating.
Fine.
But physical matter is not mathematical. There's always going to be a molecule there that's going to be dancing in a circle.
All right,
and the worst case is, you have the one molecule that's just pirouetting.
Mm. Oh, how elegant.
Ah!
The lone ballerina molecule.
Yeah, oh, the ballerina molecule.
Yes.
Oh, we've got to trademark that.
There.
So, thanks for those questions.
Oh, don't thank me. Thank the stars.
No, yeah.
Stars and their curiosity.
It was fun.
We're good. We can do this again? Do we have other questions?
Well, it depends how buddy you are with the...
With famous folk.
Yes.
Right. All right.
And tell Cam to, get some more Brooklyn Nets up here.
I have the ceiling busted out, but we'll work with it.
In fact, there's something that went semi-viral where we picked the top 10 draft. Picks in the universe.
Okay.
So it's a thing they do, apparently. So I said, what's your first pick? And so I'll take the Milky Way galaxy. And I said, what's my first pick? I'll take the formation of the moon.
Okay.
4 billion years ago. So we go down and we create our dream team of the cosmos.
All the cosmos. Yeah. That's pretty cool. So
that's online. You can check it out.
All right.
Yeah. With Cam Johnson. So just to take us out, if I reflect on what has just happened, we have people who made a name for themselves doing things that have nothing to do with science. Yet, deep within, they retained a kind of curious, dare I say, geek underbelly. Something that historically was never valued, especially not by the bullies. Oh yeah, you're carrying a calculator, you did well in your math class, never boded well for the geeks. But for those who are brave enough to come forth in whatever is their profession and say, I retain geek curiosity and I'm going to take it to Neil deGrasse Tyson, I respect you and honor you, first for your bravery and for retaining doses of curiosity well into adulthood. Keep it going. This has been Star Talk Special Edition. Neil deGrasse Tyson, as always, bidding you keep looking up.